Well, it's good to see you here. I'm not sure whether I was even going to be here this morning. I have on my cell phone, emergency, said that there was a tornado warning in Brenham area. And it went off two or three times, warning. And then here came a tremendous deluge that lasted maybe 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, the sun was out. It looked beautiful. I was getting a bit confused. But I am glad that we're all here, and I don't think that we're going to have a tornado warning again. I hope not anyway. Well, this is a portion of our service when we demonstrate to the Lord our great gratitude for all that He has done for us. He takes care of all of our needs. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so exceedingly thankful for You. You know us intimately. You knew us in eternity past. And we are Your children. And You treat us in grace. And now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a business meeting immediately after the service. And so we hope that you will stay. It doesn't take very long, and we need all of us to see what's going on with our money. And Waddell does a great job, so I hope that you will remember that in 2 weeks from now. It is our custom to prepare for our study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Even though we're living in a world that seems to have gone absolutely crazy, we've never seen evil and wickedness like this before. I haven't. I don't think anybody that's now can remember a time when things were worldwide just off the charts. We're not to be afraid, because You are our God. And we thank You that Your Word is what gives us our strength, gives us hope. It is how we are able to rejoice and be glad even in the midst of tumult. So we pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate on Your Word this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in Psalm 94 again today. Psalm 94 is a very unusual psalm because it really reflects where we are and what's happening to us as a nation and as individuals, that we can relate on all these things that Psalm 94 covers. I'm going to start with something that we saw last week at the very beginning, but I've got it on the PowerPoint now. Let's see, where's my PowerPoint thing. Okay, this is a quote from the Women's Study Bible from Thomas Nelson. God judges the wicked. The poet began by calling on God, and the poet, you could say as it was not just a poet, but one that knows what he's talking about. The poet began by calling on God, to whom vengeance belongs, to wait no longer to bring judgment upon the wicked. Isn't that where we are today? We're waiting on the Lord to bring a vengeance on those who are exceedingly wicked. So, I'll read this again. The psalmist, I like to think of the psalmist instead of a poet. See, most of the psalms are poetry. That's why they're calling this one poet. So the psalmist began by calling on God, to whom vengeance belongs, to wait no longer and bring judgment on the wicked. The poet or psalmist express faith that justice would eventually be done. Now notice, this psalmist said eventually will be done. He knows it will be, and he's asking that he would bring judgment on the wicked. God remained the defense and the rock of refuge for his people, and he would judge the wicked in his own time. In his own time. When is the right time for us? Well, God knows. We don't know. And we know that he is going to judge the wicked. Look at the first thing in this. God judges the wicked. And he chooses when and how to do it. And it gets a little antsy when things get worse and worse and no one is held accountable among the wicked. That's when it takes endurance. Your soul has to be set on Jesus Christ, that he knows what he's doing, and we will not get into the mental attitude sins, overt sins, or sins of the tongue. We're not going to get angry with God. He's the one that knows all things, and we don't. So that's why I put this up here on the board, is because it's very easy for us to be impatient. If you're impatient, it means that you're not waiting on the Lord. You're not trusting in the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 through 19. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Let's just stop there for a moment. That's quite a command there, isn't it? It even starts, if possible. You do your part to try to keep the peace. But sometimes that is simply impossible because it takes two to tango. It means that sometimes it's impossible to be at peace with other people. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If you want to get back at someone, pray for them. Don't even think about taking in your own hands what needs to be done to this person. They have harmed you. They have done all sorts of things. But vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Don't get in between the Lord and him seeking vengeance on those that you would like to see that happen immediately and you would like to join in. Okay, that's the two things that I had up here for now. And I'll hit this. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to read down to probably verse 12 or 13 or 14 where we ended. And I'm going to put this on the board as well. What is in blue is the verses, and then the rest is commentary. And I'm not going to go through the commentary because we'd never get to where we would normally start today. But I might make a comment from every now and then. So, verse 1, this is Psalm 94. O Lord God of vengeance, God of vengeance, twice, shine forth. Shine forth, Lord, we need you to act. It's getting worse and worse. And we know that this is in God's hands, but it's a plea to them. Verse 2, rise up, O judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. So, of course, Jesus Christ will judge the earth, and he is the judge of the earth. And he's render recompense to the proud means those who are getting by with so much evil and they are very proud, they're very arrogant. Render recompense to the proud. Give them what they deserve, Lord. Verse 3, how long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exalt? Oh, isn't that appropriate for today to be wondering how much longer are the wicked going to exalt? In other words, they're having a heyday out there and they are exalting. They are exceedingly joyful because they're getting by with so much. Verse 4, they pour forth words, they speak arrogantly, all who do wickedness vaunt themselves. That means it's all about them. And they continually are speaking, and it's always arrogantly, because that's who and what they are, is arrogant. And again, they vaunt themselves. They brag about themselves. Look at me, look what we're doing. Isn't it great? Verse 5. They crush thy people, O Lord, and afflict thy heritage. We are the heritage of the Lord. and they are crushing us. I'm so tempted to go into more with these, but I've got to get to where we need to start. Verse 6. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. Verse 8. Pay heed, you senseless among the people. And when will you understand, stupid ones? Now that's coming right out of the scripture. He's talking about those who are oppressing the people, and they're so thinking that they have it all going their way, and yet they are senseless. And when will you understand what's really going on, and that you're going to get your comeuppance? You better vault yourself and praise yourself while you have time, you stupid ones. 9. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Because these people don't even think about God, and they think, well, we'll get by with anything we want to. Because we're not doing anything, let's just kick it up a notch or two. That's what they think. They think that God isn't even interested. Verse 10. He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who teaches man knowledge. So he's going to chasten the nations. And when it says, will he not rebuke? It means, of course he's going to rebuke. It's coming. But it's coming in his time and in his way. Verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are mere breath, meaning vanity. All these pompous ego trip people, they are full of vanity because they think they are somebody, and they're very proud of who they are and what they think, and it's all vanity. Blessed is the man. By the way, at verse 12, I have a note here. The focus of verse 12 through 19 changes because it all so far was directed towards the leaders who were oppressing the people. Now it changes to address the blessings of the righteous. That's going to be a good change here. So, verse 12 says, blessed is the man whom thou dost chasten, O Lord, and dost teach out thy law. And I know what everybody's probably thinking. Getting chastened is a blessing. Well, I see some of you smiling. I assume you had good parents and you were chastened. Is being chastened enjoyable? If it is, your parents aren't chasing you right. It's not something that we would like to have. But when the Lord does it, He does it in a way always for us. And when parents chasten their children, it's because they love them. And don't think that if you have parents and they don't chasten their children, the children know that you don't love them enough to do the hard thing, which is to discipline them. Tough love, we call it. Verse 13. That thou mayest grant him relief from the days of adversity, until a pit is dug for the wicked. Isn't that what we all would like to have, is some relief from the corruption, the wickedness, the utter destruction of our country that is taking place? Wouldn't we like to have relief from that which is going on every single day? and everything seems to be going in the wrong direction. And we keep thinking, something's going to happen. And that's right, something is going to happen. But God is going to do it. You know, we are not to take vengeance against anyone who deserves it. We rely on God to take care of that. But there is such a thing called the right of self-defense, and that comes from God Himself. So anytime anyone in any place is oppressing you, you have a right to defend yourself. And even if it's someone in high office, it doesn't matter who it is. God does not require us to kneel to oppression. And so there's a difference there. I think I added, I added something. I'm going to read this one thing. Let's see. Well, I can't help it. I have to do this. Psalm 49:5. Y'all see it up on the board? Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? He's surrounded by iniquity, those who are oppressing. But he says, why should I fear in the day of evil? How can he say that? And he's surrounded, it's napping at his heels. You know what? Let me just put it this way. Do you know the answer to that? Why should someone fear, and we'll put it into day, every day the news gets worse and worse. Should you be afraid of everything that's going on? No. Because God is our strength and a very present help in time of trouble. And we rely on Him and we trust on Him and we claim His promises. There is no fear when you're trusting God. And then this next one, I had that one there already, but Psalms 7:14-16 says, behold, he travails with wickedness, and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out and has fallen into the hole which he made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. Pate there means head. So maybe one reason God is letting this go on for a long time is because He's going to turn everything that they're doing back on themselves. And we see little pieces of that maybe already appearing. But that's what God has done many, many times. The wickedness, what they were doing to the people, He turns right back around and gives it to them tenfold. For the Lord will not abandon His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. Don't ever think for one moment that when you don't see anything happening in your life and you're praying for certain things and it's not happening, it's like, hey, did God go to sleep? What's going on here? He will never abandon His people. Never. Nor will He forsake His inheritance. Okay, I think this is where I'm going to start actually teaching till we get to the end if we have enough time. Verse 15. For judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Do you long for the time when there will be perfect judgment, justice, and righteousness? These are things that are very rare these days. and all the upright in heart will follow it. Here's a few verses to substantiate this. Psalm chapter 58, verse 11. Psalm 58, 11. And men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Of course, Jesus Christ is all about righteousness and justice. Micah chapter 7, verse 7 through 10. Micah 7, 7 through 10. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me out to the light, and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look on her at that time. She will be trampled down like mire on the streets. Isn't that a great psalm for now? You better write it down. That's Micah chapter 7, verse 7 through 10. When Jesus Christ returns, he will restore order and install his government, which will be the only perfect government that has ever existed. However, even though there will be perfect environment and perfect government, he will have to rule with a rod of iron because many will refuse to submit to his authority. His righteousness and justice will surely hold them accountable. So, isn't it something that when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and starts his millennial kingdom, and everything is going to be as it were, very similar to what happened in the Garden of Eden? There's not going to be any sickness, there's not going to be any crime, there's not going to be any of these things. And you know why? Because when those things start to happen, and they will, because you have still people with old sin natures, Jesus Christ is going to nip it in the bud. When the crime happens, he says rules with a rod of iron. He's not going to let anybody go unaccountable. And even though everything is perfect, he's sitting in Jerusalem on the throne and he is ruling the world and everything is perfect, and he still has to rule with a rod of iron. Verse 16. Who will stand up for me against the evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do wicked? Now, these are two very relevant questions. We have a wonderful constitution that protects our God-given rights, and everyone in government takes an oath to defend it. Where can we find someone in government that will stand up for us against the evildoers? They're rare these days. The things that have been taking place, very ogre of a person, Mayorkas. The Republicans were going to toss him out, impeach him. And there were five Republicans that didn't go along with it. They went with the Democrats. And of course, the Democrats don't have anybody straight. No, that's not going to happen. And so it failed. And it makes us think, right and rightly so, there is no help other than the Lord. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when you so many things are unfolding right now, showing the underbelly of a very wicked, hostile, odious people who are doing the wrong thing for the wrong reasons, too. So find someone in government that will stand up for us against the evildoers. There are some, but very few. There are very few who are willing to abide by their oath and stand against the wickedness and the evil that has a chokehold on our beloved country, but they have little or no power to bring about change. That's the thing. They try hard and they're doing their best, but they are completely overwhelmed by the corruption, the wickedness, and the ignorance. So the righteous ones are left as prey to the merciless evildoers until we have a very powerful and righteous leader, a champion that will stand against the corrupt evildoers. Now this next verse will let us know who that champion may be. And if you don't know, if you don't already know, you haven't been paying attention. Verse 17. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. This is kind of cryptic. First of all, we know it's the Lord that's going to do that. And I have to remind myself, I don't know why I keep watching the news. I guess I'm it doesn't get any better. But I start thinking, well, why am I so invested in all that's going on here? I mean, I want to keep up to know what's going on. And it can get your blood pressure up. But why do you do that? Excuse me. Because the Lord is our help. Nobody else can do it. Only Him. He's the one that can turn all this around. And when you say, I thought it was cryptic because it says, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. The abode of silence is death. And so, if it had not been for the Lord and His help, I essentially would be in silence because I would not be here. I'd be dead. It just so happens that the memory verse for this Sunday is Psalm 46, verse 1. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. I always put times in there. It seems like it ought to be there. But God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. By the way, you can see it on your bulletin, if you have your bulletin. There it is, right there. We are preserved in life and protected from the wicked by God Himself. Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm 46, 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 62, 7 through 8. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. You see that red? That's the ticket. That's the key right there. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 145, verse 18 through 20. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. 2 Samuel 22, verses 18 through 19. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. Is He your support? Is that who you think about? Is that who you talk to first? Is that the one you rely on? Psalm 124, 2 through 3. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Verse 18. If I should say, my foot has slipped, thy loving kindness, O Lord, would hold me up. Even when we suffer affliction, we are blessed because God upholds our tottering feet, and when we are in danger, He keeps us from falling. And here's a couple of verses. Psalm 18, 35 through 36. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged the path under me, so my feet did not slip. That's easy for God to do something like that. Psalm 108, verses 12 through 13. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. I want you to look again. For the help of man is what?
Useless.
Usually it's lies anyway, and they don't do what they say. Verse 19. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations, which means comforting, delight my soul. Internal comfort is given by God Himself to the perplexed and troubled in spirit, whereby they are smooth, soothed, and solaced. Do you have any anxious thoughts? And are they multiplying? Do you know how to stop it? Just ask God and trust in Him, and you'll get that peace that people are looking for. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Psalm 119:76, let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Oh, look at there. What we got? I'm very sensitive with my red stars. But here it is. Romans 15:4. We ain't got there in Romans yet, but for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Won't you just write somewhere Romans 15:4, because this is how we survive. This is how we have hope. This is how we have strength. This is the formula right here in this little short verse. Again, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Everything that you see in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, that all happened before. This verse says it is for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that's what it gives you, patience and comfort, so that we might have hope. You can either learn and live, or live and learn. In other words, you can either go to the school of hard knocks, or you can do what this verse says to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We all need comfort sometimes, don't we? When we have anxious thoughts, it is because we are focusing on the problem rather than trusting the Lord and claiming promises. Now, verses 20 through 21 have to do with the destruction of the evildoers. Well, we've got these two verses and a couple more, and we're going to get it. We're going to be done. So, verse 20. Can a throne of destruction be allied with thee, one which devises mischief by decree? So, first of all, the question is, let me give you this part first. The throne of destruction, what does that mean? It's meant iniquity in high places, refers to villainous rulers who legislate would seek to destroy the righteous. That's the throne that's mentioned here. And so can that throne be allied with thee, with you, God? Can that be so? Absolutely not. One which devises mischief by decree. More talking about these people who are charlatans. Isaiah 1:23. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Isaiah 10:2. So as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor, my people, of their rights. Of course, the answer to the question asked in this verse is absolutely not. Verse 21. They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. So, verse 20 and 21 certainly describes the despicable leaders who are trying their best to destroy our country. I want you to look at where it says, and they band themselves together. Is that happening? Do we see it? Here's how they're banding together. The Democratic Party, the media, the universities, the corporations, the tech companies, and the deep state, the swamp, Hollywood, have all banded together against the righteous. And they have all the levers of power. But they don't have the power. We have the power, which is Jesus Christ. And He is going to rip them apart someday. He is going to seek vengeance, and the day is coming. So let them band together with all they have. They're just making it worse for themselves, because Jesus Christ is going to seek vengeance. And that's how they band themselves together. Isaiah 1:21. How the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness, once lodged in her, but now murderers.
You passed up something here.
Huh?
You passed up something.
What did I pass? Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Thank you. This is the last part of the verse. And condemn the innocent to death. Well, thousands died because of the open border policy, including 70, some say 72,000 die, mostly young people, because of fentanyl overdoses. But there's a lot of others that the sex trade, trafficking, and so many, even people drowning, and that's going on. And so the person who made these policies and sticks to it and can change it overnight, this is on his head. And the ones that are carrying out his will. Isaiah 59:3-4. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. We all know who this is talking about in our time. Isaiah 1, verse 21 and 23. How the faithful city has become a harlot. She was full of justice and righteous, once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow plea come before them. Verse 22. But the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. Excuse me. Psalm 18, verse 2 and 3. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Psalm 59:9. Because of his strength, I will watch for thee, for God is my stronghold. And here is the last verse. And he has brought back their wickedness upon them, and will destroy them in their evil. The Lord, our God, will destroy them. I love this verse because it makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the only one who can right this colossal wrong. We need to give him praise and gratitude for holding those vermin accountable. I love this righteousness, justice, and his veracity. Psalm 35, verse 7-8. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let the net which he hid catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. See, the verse says again, he has brought back their wickedness upon them. These are verses explaining it. Psalm 141:8. For my eyes are towards thee, O God, the Lord, in thee I take refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. Will he ever do that? Will you ever ask him to help and protect you and strengthen you? And will he ever say no? Of course not. We just need to address him. Psalm 7:16. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. I think we had this one already. That means head. And Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. And that's that. I think that this psalm is so powerful that we need to visit it often, because I've never seen anything like it that parallels where we are right now. And that's why I spent two Sundays teaching this. is because I want us to be ready. And as you go through that, it makes waiting for the Lord to seek vengeance easier. I'm afraid that we're going to have horrible times this year. And Christians suffer along with the others who are suffering. But when we suffer, we don't suffer in such a way that we get angry about it. Our suffering is for the Lord. It's my prayer that all of us will hold our anger and wait on the Lord, and that He has such strength that He can help us to have joy. We always have joy with our relationship with Him. It doesn't matter what is going on around us. We can't do anything about that. We can pray about it, but we can't change things. But we can change our thinking when we start to drift off and get really angry or get into self-pity. We need that strength. And I think this psalm will help strengthen us if we just keep going there. And we also need to remember the people who don't have what we have. They need this knowledge as well. I think that if you shared the Psalm 94 with people, even whether they're unbelievers, doesn't matter who they are, and if they read this, I think it would strike them as seeing who's really in charge and give them hope. Do you have hope? And where is the source of your hope? None other than the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, who is coming again. And we don't know when He is going to seek vengeance, but we know that He will. In the meantime, we're just seeking strength to get through the day and to honor Him and to praise Him and to obey Him and continue to grow in grace and knowledge. The last portion of this service has to do with people who they don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. They're afraid of dying because of course, you'd be afraid if you didn't know where you were going. And the good news is that you don't have to worry about your sin problem because Christ on the cross took care of your sin problem. Your problem now is to make a decision. Are you going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross, dying for your sins? He rose from the grave and now offers eternal life to anyone who will trust Him for it. Are you going to trust in your own wimpy good works? Or are you going to trust in the Lord Jesus' final work? And when you do, when you recognize that your eternal destiny is at stake and you're putting all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're born again. You become a child of God. You have God's own righteousness. Your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. And now it's time for you to quit wasting your time with anger and being afraid and worry and dread and all that nonsense. You can live the abundant life through the Lord Jesus Christ now, but you need to grow up. You need to learn doctrine and start applying it. Let's close. Our wonderful, merciful God, we are so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful for Psalm 94 and so many others. It holds us up. It supports us. We pray that you will remind us to focus on you and not the problem. That we will be able to have the strength and the mighty word of us going with us in our minds, and so that we can be good and faithful servants. And we thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.